Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Tonight we got a couple things we're going to run through. We're going to run through the SB Nation mock up to this point because the Colts just made their pick with our own Brett Mock. And I think that there's going to probably be some mixed reactions to that. And also, we've got the Colts 2019 schedule to talk about. So we've got a lot to talk about and get down to it. So let's get into it. And let's start by talking about the SB Nation mock. The SB Nation mock, a writer for each team, representative for each team, I rather, goes and makes a pick for their representative team. And, I'm going to run you guys through all of these picks, and we're going to talk about that for a quick second. Then we're going to get to the Colts pick and kind of discuss about this, because we've talked about this a couple days ago. So you guys kind of know my thoughts on it already, but there are some very good arguments for the Colts pick in this position at number 26. So let's start. Obviously, the Cardinals, there has been much talk about that at number one. Guess what? The Colts draft Kyler Murray. I don't love that pick because I don't love Kyler Murray. If you guys have bought the draft guide, you see that I don't have him sitting at number one atop the list of quarterbacks. I certainly don't think he's a number one overall pick. That's just my opinion. There are a lot of people that love him to death. A lot of people are comparing him to Russell Wilson. I don't see that. Other than the fact that he gets out of the pocket and makes 99% of his plays out of the pocket, he just is not a recipe for success in the NFL. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's mobile. It has nothing to do with the fact, much of anything, to be honest with you. I just didn't like a lot of his decision making. He can be extremely accurate, but he can also blow a game, and that's I see him struggling to maintain games and struggling to be the guy to win games in the NFL. That is my instant result or instant reaction from this pick, and it would be if this was the actual draft that we are going through. So Cardinals take Kyler Murray at number one. At second overall, Nick Bosa goes to the 49ers. Nick Bosa, to me, is one of the smoothest and most pure pass rushers that anybody could ask for, quite honestly. I really think that he is the total package when it comes to it. I did do the draft, the pass rushers coming out of our Stampede Blue draft guide, and even though he didn't have a lot to put on tape last year at all, for that matter, man, he is so smooth, and he is powerful, and he is good. And I'll be honest with you, there was a point where Brett Mock, our leader at Stampede Blue, messaged me and said, dude, you don't have any negatives for him. You don't have any issues for him. And I'm like, you know what? They were hard as hell to find because he is so good. There are some negatives. I just forgot to write them down. But the point was, is that he is so good. There was such a limited amount of issues with his game. And man, to me, he's one of the best pass rushers to come out in a long time. I don't think he's quite on the Khalil Mack level or anything like that. I think he's damn close, though. He is really close. At number three overall, the Jets take Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's really good. I think he has to be an outside linebacker at this point. I'm not so in love with him being a 4-3 defensive end. I don't think he's going to have any issues with that, though, with the Jets system or anything like that. So good pick for them. Quinnen Williams goes to the Raiders at number four. Quinnen Williams is one of the top players in this draft. There's no question about it. And wherever he goes, he's going to be an instant success. And I don't think that's even debatable, to quite honestly. The Bucs at five overall take Ed Oliver. This, I think there's been a lot of discussion about Ed Oliver. You know, is he a top 10 player? Is he a top 5 player? Top 15? Whatever it is. They typically get to giving him the label of being undersized. But man, this dude is a player. And when you get into work ethic and you get into raw power and speed and determination, this guy's got it all. I think he's a top 5 player. If you know how they do the return mocks a few years after the fact, I think that when they come back to it, whether he goes in the top five, top 10, top 15, whatever it is, I think they're going to come back and they're going to say this guy's a top five player, undersized, and people shut him off. Maybe he drops a little bit in the draft, but man, he's tough. He is absolutely tough. So I have no problem with that at all, with him going number five overall. Number six, Devin White goes to the Giants. They don't take a QB in this. They take a linebacker. I think that's okay. It's whatever for the Giants. You know, they're going to do their own thing. And there's really nothing that anybody can do about that. I mean, he's a good linebacker. I guess if they need one that bad, okay. At seven overall, Haskins goes to the Jaguars. I think Haskins is a good quarterback. I had him as the top quarterback in this draft. I'm not a fan of Kyler Murray. I think that I think Haskins has the most tools to really work with in terms of pocket presence, being a pocket passer, being able to lead people, get them in some stride, and to get people some yak yardage. That to me is important when I look at a quarterback. What can they do in terms of leading? Now, he isn't always the most accurate, but I loved his accuracy outside of the numbers. I loved his accuracy deep. And I thought that a lot of the slants and a lot of the drags and stuff that come across the middle of the field, I thought he was on target on a lot of those. Number eight overall. This is a bit of a surprise for me in terms of it, but I think that Brian Burns is an absolute stud in this draft. One of the most athletic guys that you saw at the combine. He goes number eight overall to the Lions. Now, a lot of people, Montez Sweat has been a guy that has been mocked to them in several mocks throughout, you know, the past several weeks. Brian Burns, he's going to take some work. I think he needs some work with his power, but I loved him. I loved him to death. I think he's an excellent pick for the Lions at pass rush. And if he can get taught some of the intricacies of the position, he's going to be a stud. Plain and simple. Number nine overall, TJ Hockenson goes to the Bills. And I think that this tight end is one that a lot of people see as the top tight end in the draft. No question about it. Obviously, the Bills need some help in that category. And Josh Allen needs a short yardage target. He needs a good short yardage target. And I think Hockenson is that. The Broncos take Drew Locke at number nine overall. 10 overall. And I liked Drew Locke a lot in this. In my estimation of him, I think he has probably one of the top two or three opportunities to be the most successful quarterback in this draft. I really liked a lot of what he brought. So I think the Broncos, if they were to get Drew Locke in this, I think the Broncos would actually find their quarterback of the future perfectly, honestly. Where are we at here? Number 11 overall, Devin Bush. Another linebacker goes to the Bengals. I think that the Bengals could use a lot of this. 12, Montez Sweat goes to the Packers. Now, the Packers did a lot in free agency, right? Man, Montez Sweat's a stud. He really is. Strong, powerful. He's got the burst off the line. And he's really good at reading the backfield. So I think that when you look at what Sweat brings, if you take him, man, Packers would be absolutely loaded if they took a pass rusher at 12. So you got to like that. I like a lot of these picks, to be quite honest with you. There's some surprises, but I like the way that they fit in just in general. The Dolphins take Juwan Taylor, a tackle. They need all the help they can get. They literally have to kind of do what the Colts did last year in terms of building lines. They've got to build a lot of pieces, and they really kind of have to start over. There's going to be kind of a lot of issues in Miami this year, I think. But in general, I think that they really have a really wise approach if they were to take a guy like Juwan Taylor. Number 14 overall, Jonah Williams goes to the Falcons. I think that that's – look, anytime you take either side of the line, you're going to be doing well. And I think that the Falcons are going to be very pleased with Jonah Williams, one of the better players in this draft. I think that's about right for him. Cleveland Farrell takes to the Washington Redskins at 15 overall. I think that's high for him personally, but I think in general – you look at what they need. Okay. Does he have to play right away? Does he have to be a stud right away? No, he doesn't. But I still think that's high in the draft for him. I think Cleveland Farrell is very good. We talked about this the other night. I just think he's a year or two away from actually being an impact in wherever he goes. 16 overall, the Panthers take Andre Dillard. Good pick for them. Rashawn Gary, a guy who's got a little bit of risk to him, goes to the Giants. And I think that, man, he's such a hard fix, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that when you look at Rashawn Gary, you look at what he could be, you look at a lot of different aspects in his game. He's definitely got top-end talent. He also is a guy who kind of feels like that boom or bust type player in this draft. We graded him as a defensive lineman in the draft guide, but he didn't. I mean, I think that, he came off lazy, came off as if, you know, he wasn't a guy that was going to play every down, didn't have a high motor. It's pretty interesting. You guys need to read that. If you don't have the draft guide yet, go out and get it. $5. I mean, you can get that for a value meal, guys. You can buy it any way you want to buy it. PayPal, debit card, whatever. It's worth the read. Whether you agree with it or not, it's interesting. A lot of guys put a lot of hard work into this. Make sure you guys are going out and get it. Cody Ford at number 18 goes to the Vikings. Good for them to get a lineman. I think that the Vikings need it, and I think that they're going to go forward well with it. It's not a bad pick. They're in several of these. There are multiple places they can go. This is the way that these guys go, and I don't think that anybody's really going to argue with it. 19, Garrett Bradbury goes to the Titans. I think that this is the beginning of a real battle for the AFC South. When you get another interior lineman like this, they're going to do everything they can to protect Marcus Mariota. Mariota is not, in my opinion, a great quarterback, but we've seen him carve up the Colts in the past, and I think that he's good enough. But interior offensive line help, we saw what, you know, Quentin could do for the Colts this past year. It's something that really can really bolster a team just in general. You give the quarterback that much more confidence going forward, and you really kind of set things in motion and the tone for the year. So looking at number 20, Byron Murphy goes to the Steelers. I think this is kind of the first, and this makes sense for the cornerbacks to start dropping off the board here, because this is kind of where I expect a run to be. And this is kind of where I expect the Colts to be really hard considering a secondary player. And I think it's going to be cornerback versus safety. I think cornerback is a larger need. I think it's a better pick for the first round should they pick at number 26. But Byron Murphy goes to the Steelers, really tough guy. Like what he brings to the secondary there with the Steelers. They've got a couple young guys. Their secondary is getting younger, and I think their secondary is going to be much better going forward. The Seahawks end up taking defensive tackle Jerry Tillery. He is a stud. People are going to love this guy, in my opinion. I just think that he's a guy that you hope kind of falls, or that he's one of a couple guys that falls to the Colts at 26 so that they can have a decision to make. I don't know that he gets there, but I think that this is a spot for Jerry Tillery. It makes a lot of sense. Number 22, DK Metcalf goes to Baltimore Ravens. This is kind of where you're going to start seeing some of the receivers coming off the board as well. I think that it's a good spot for them to start coming off the board, but you know, Metcalf is a stud. He's going to be a stud. They're going to try and get Lamar Jackson as many weapons as possible. And you get a guy like that, that's only going to make your offense more impressive and really more reliant on Lamar Jackson's traits and what he can bring to the offense. Number 23, the Texans take Greedy Williams, another corner. And I think personally, from what we've heard, I don't know this because I didn't study the corners. I like Greedy Williams. A lot of talk about him not being quite as physical at the line of scrimmage. I don't know that to be true or not, to be perfectly honest. I'm not going to pretend to know something I don't. But Greedy Williams is a stud, though. I mean, you look at it a couple different ways. You can look at it as he has some things to work on. or he's got some things that, you know, a secondary desperately needs. When you look at what the Colts need in their secondary, they need those guys that stand out to be secondary, to be physical guys in the secondary. So Greedy Williams may not be a perfect fit for the Colts. Goes to the Texans, though. You know, the Colts could be dealing with him in coverage in that regard. So they've got a lot of other things that can deal with the run. I think Greedy Williams is a good pick for the Texans, perfectly honest, because they need it in coverage desperately. 24, Noah Fant goes to the Raiders. I think that, again, you need another guy who can be a short yardage tackle or a short yardage pick for the Raiders to help with their passing game. You need a short yardage receiver who can do something downfield as well and take the ball downfield past the blockers. I think that that's a good pick for the Raiders. I think that we're going to be a little surprised at what the Raiders do. I'm still, you know, I think people are so worried, you know, not worried, but they kind of just look at the Raiders like, man, this has been a dumpster fire for the past year, you know, it just doesn't look great. They've got a lot of picks to do or to use, and they've got a lot of talent in this draft that they can really bolster both sides of the line of scrimmage. And Noah Fant's a hell of a pick in the first round there for them. Christian Wilkins at 25 goes to the Eagles. He drops this far. That's quite the issue. And I think that ultimately when it comes down to it, I just think perfectly. I mean, you put him on the Eagles and you've got a real piece of value there at number 25. I mean, 25, him dropping, that's a hell of an interior defensive lineman to bolster what you've already got going. So let's move on. Now here we are at the Colts at 26. This is a pick that we've discussed when we were looking at the mocks around the internet the other day, and it's Jeffrey Simmons, interior defensive lineman, big injury. This to me, I mean, if you look at what he brings, okay, this guy has a torn ACL injury during a workout in February. He was widely considered one of the top three interior defensive linemen in the draft. Easy a top 15 pick. Talent level, man, this is an absolute steal for the Colts from the defensive lineman out of Mississippi State. The problem for me, and this is totally me, is that when you've got ACL tears, you look at guys who are often in the open field. Look at wide receivers, look at corners. I mean, look at even linebackers for that matter. And you look at what they have to do. They have to do a lot of twisting, turning, open field. I understand all that. And that, they say, well, that's a concern. My concern with a guy who is lined up directly on the line of scrimmage, whether it be offensive lineman, defensive lineman, or pass rusher, is that those guys are battling 300-pound monsters every single snap. Offensive linemen and defensive linemen go down every single game, every single week, every single practice. I mean, it seems like they're going down as it is. To me, this seems like a bit of, this doesn't seem like when the Cowboys took a chance on a linebacker. You know, wait for him for the next year, let him come in. But they make a great point in that the Colts have three picks very close together. Okay? They've got three picks in the first two rounds. If you take him and you are totally okay with him being a guy for the future, you have a perfectly okay with him taking 2 years to be make any sort of an impact. Then, I mean, if you're Chris Ballard and you say, dude, this guy has just a massive amount of talent, we're going to take it, then okay, that's fine. I mean, I won't complain about it. To me, it seems additionally risky with a guy who's lined up in the on the line of scrimmage every single play of every game, you know, that he's in. If you're looking at it as in the Colts have three picks in the top, you know, two rounds, then you look at what else they could do. There's still going to be some corners there. for that early pick in the second round that they took from the Jets last year. There's still going to be wide receivers ready. There are still going to be safeties there. There are still going to be offensive linemen there. There are still going to be a multitude of different guys. They're going to be a pick at early in the second round is going to be a good pick in this draft. You know, it's not may not be a top level pick, but you are get like I said, you are getting who is widely considered a top 15 pick talent wise in this draft. To me, it still seems risky. However, this dude is just a beast. And if you're going to get this kind of talent, I mean, then I think you take it. Like he says, Simmons is obviously a risk. Is he a risk worth taking for the Colts? Our Brett Mock took him and picked him and felt comfortable with it and said, you know, we'll wait a year. Maybe he'll come back. Maybe he won't. But you do get the extra year, being that he's a first-round pick. That makes sense. That's a good argument. You know, you don't have to worry about him being a second-round pick and being a four-year deal. You get the fifth. I think that they can still go where they need to go if they were to do this. If this were to be a real issue or a real situation, I think that the Colts could do it. But here's the thing. You've got other guys like Dexter Lawrence still around. You've got other cornerbacks, DeAndre Baker, who's still there. To me, it seems extra risky when you've got other guys talent-wise that are damn close, right? You got other guys that are right there in that same talent, right there in that little realm of talent. Why not bring a guy in who can make an impact in the first year? That to me, it doesn't seem like a move where, you know, you're freaking out. It just seems like they have to be blown away by Simmons and his tape. They absolutely have to be blown away and think that he is an absolute stud and that he is going to make an instant impact once he does get on the field. I think you've got other instant impact guys still available according to this draft. To me, this seems kind of risky and almost too risky with who's still on the board. I really like DeAndre Baker here. I think that that's an excellent pick for the Colts in the first round. I think that if you look at, like I said, I mean, you also have Dexter Lawrence there. I would take him too. Jeffrey Simmons, is he worth the risk? We'll find out. That's who the Colts take at number 26, according to the SB Nation mock draft. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk Colts 2019 schedule, which was just released tonight. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back, folks. All right, let's talk about the release of the Colts 2019 schedule. This is interesting. This is fun. We're going to love this. A lot of different viewpoints on this already. We're going to have a talk another night about this as well. We're going to get a little more in depth. We're just going to go through the schedule tonight, and I'll give some real quick instant reaction on it, but we're going to get a little more in depth probably tomorrow night or the night after, and we'll figure that out. So we'll try to put a podcast up, another one tomorrow night, which is Thursday, or Friday night. So LA Chargers week one at LA, 4:05 midday. So look at that. Kind of a tough start, but you know, it is what it is. I think the Colts can take that personally. The Chargers were good last year. They lost, in my opinion, a lot of pieces. They've also gained a couple, but that to me seems like a game that the Colts can win. Week two, the Colts start their AFC South bid. 1 p.m. at Tennessee in week two, September 15th. We don't really know. Tennessee Titans are building. This is going to be a good game. The AFC South is still going to continue to be one of the most competitive divisions in the NFL, especially in the AFC, and I think this is going to be a fun season throughout. I think all of the teams personally are going to get a lot better and are going to look better on the field. Week three, the Colts are at home against Atlanta, September 22nd at 1 p.m. Week four, Oakland, September 29th, 1 p.m. as well. I think that's a fun game to watch. You want to see the way that the Oakland Raiders have built their team. That's going to be interesting. They've got some guys last year, didn't really make a whole lot of noise, but they have a lot of talent, a lot of potential. It's going to be a fun game. The first 4 weeks, in my opinion. That's an excellent first quarter to the season. Hope that the Colts can maintain. That's not an easy first quarter of the year, right, folks? I mean, the Chargers were tough last year. The Titans are continuing to build and be tough. The Falcons are always tough. And the Raiders, they've got a lot of talent. Gruden's got to put it all together. So we'll see. Week 5, Colts in prime time. October 6th at Kansas City. Week 5. That's a tough game at Kansas City. Colts' final game of the last year was at Kansas City. Colts got a lot to do with that. Kind of a rough, in my opinion, spot in week 6 is Colts' bye week. That is not good, in my opinion. The Colts have desperately needed that week 10, later in the season bye, and week 6 bye is not favorable for the Colts. The Colts have not, I mean, they have needed, desperately needed that week 10 bye every single year when it comes. Look, the Colts have lucked out getting it, and the Colts are just going to have to deal with it this year. I think that's going to suck, but the Colts desperately have to be impressive and have to be, competitive in the first 5 weeks of the season, or they're going to struggle. And this second half of the season, you got 7 through week 17, you got 10 straight weeks where you play without a break, and you're hoping to get into the playoffs. That's rough. That is going to make getting a first round bye ever so much important for the Colts next year. So looking at week 7, October 20th, home against the Houston Texans. Week 8, home against the Denver Broncos, midday 4:25 p.m. kickoff. Week 9, at the Steelers. So the Colts have a rough schedule, folks. Like I said, I think the Texans are going to be good. I think the Broncos are going to be better. They've still got some of their elite talent that's there. They, if they go according to this past mock that we just went over in the first half of the show, if you bring in Drew, Locke, I think that, they've got something brewing there. So, like I said, the Steelers at week 9 at the Steelers, 1 p.m. Week 10, the Dolphins at home, midday at 4:05. Week 11, home against the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1 p.m. at the Houston Texans in week 12 in primetime. Looking at their primetime, okay, 2 primetime bids, 8:20, both on the road. Their midday games, all but one, or the first one, obviously, on the road at L.A., and their next 2 at home with Denver and at home with the Miami Dolphins. So let's continue to look at this, and we're going to go to the Tennessee Titans at week 13, 1 at 1 p.m., at Tampa Bay in week 14, 1 p.m. as well. This is, man, I'm just still looking at this schedule thinking this is a rough schedule for the Colts, but, the Colts are getting better. We definitely plan on Chris Ballard putting a solid draft together, but this is going to be a rough year for the Colts, guys. If the Colts come out of this and they're in week 12, week 13, and they are firmly in the playoff hunt, you should be very, very happy with this Colts team, because this is not an easy schedule. They are already playing a couple of really tough games on the road, and then you get into, just the back half of the season. Right about here is where it gets tricky, guys. Week 11, maybe through week 14, week 15 even, where you see guys are going to start getting hurt. Guys are going to start being really tired and worn out. They need, man, that bye week sucks for the Colts, quite honestly, in week 6. Looking at week 15, primetime, on the road again against the New Orleans Saints, December 16th. That's rough. I mean, all 3 primetime games on the road. That sucks for the Colts. This is going to be a rough year, guys. Like I said, if they remain competitive and they stay in that, they've got to dominate the AFC South. The AFC South is getting stronger. Ugh. Week 16, at home against the Carolina Panthers. That'll be a fun game as well. And then finally, in week 17, they are on the road at the Jacksonville Jaguars, December 29th. Very interesting to see this schedule. We knew who they were going to play. It already looked like kind of a tough schedule overall, right? But you're looking at the primetime games and you're seeing that they're on the road. This is a year. I mean, if last year was the year that you're going to prove that you can kick some ass, and really kind of use your rookies to bolster what you've got going already, or to use, you know, some of the younger pieces, some of the guys that Chris Ballard's brought in off the street, really churning that roster to make your team better. I mean, this is going to be the year where Chris Ballard and Frank Reich are really tested. There are a lot of years where you see a first-year quarterback just blows up the NFL, you know. And I would kind of reckon that towards Patrick Mahomes last year. This will be a big year for Patrick Mahomes, and that he was so successful last year. What's the tape say, right? What are these teams that go back and really study the tape? Who finds it out? Who figures him out? Somebody will. Somebody will make him look silly this year. He'll be probably pretty good again, but somebody will make him look silly. And too often we see these quarterbacks or another intricate piece of a team start to fall off because teams have studied them so hard and teams have really kind of nitpicked every little piece of their game that they find that weakness. Frank Reich, second-year coach, we see it with that. A lot of coaches of the year struggle in their second year. Frank Reich is going to be in a real pickle here because he's got a rough schedule. He's got 3 primetime games on the road. He's got another 2 games in midday on the road. And he's going to have a tough schedule overall. He is playing some decent teams, even when he is not playing a top-tier team. I mean, the Chargers were tough last year. The Falcons were solid, even though their record wasn't phenomenal. They were tough. The Oakland Raiders are rising. The Chiefs, I mean, they made it to the Super Bowl. I mean, what else do you want? The Texans were there. The Colts beat them in the playoffs. The Broncos are going to be better, in my opinion. The Steelers are always tough. It doesn't matter. I think the Dolphins are a team that they can beat. I think the Jaguars depends completely on what they bring in and how their coaching relates to the players that they've got. They could be a dumpster fire or they could be really good. We don't know yet. The Texans, they have the potential to be excellent. The Titans have the potential to be excellent. The Bucks, we don't know. First-year head coach again with Bruce Arians. We don't know what the quarterback situation is really going to be like there. I'm not really holding a whole lot of, I'm not giving them a whole lot of credit. New Orleans, Drew Brees. I mean, they've got the weapons. They've got an improved defense. It's going to be tough. The Panthers are always going to be tough. They always play tough and physical. And I just think that overall, this is a really rough schedule for Frank Reich in his second year. He is going to have to prove that everything that we thought about him last year was warranted. And I think that there's a pretty good solid chance that he shows up and has a really good solid year. I think that we lucked out with Frank Reich. I think that Frank Reich is going to be able to really take it to the task of matching up with these guys in terms of the teams that they play. He's going to have to be great at his game plan. Andrew Luck's going to have to be excellent. The team is going to have to be better on defense, even though they played one of the best defensive years in a long time last year. They're going to have to be as good or better at wide receiver. Their running game is going to have to continue to be on par or better than they were last year. There are a lot of things that are going to have to go right for the Colts this year, and it's not just because of their schedule. It's because of who they are. How do they build? Where do they go in this draft? What do they add? Who, when they add somebody, who really makes an impact? Can Justin Houston stay healthy? Does he absolutely blow up as a pass rusher for the Colts in this system when being coming out of a 3-4 in Kansas City to a 4-3 and being a designated 4-3 defensive end? There are a ton of questions to be answered in this year, this season. This could be very well, and I'm not saying this in a negative connotation at all, but I think that it's very possible this is a negative year for the Colts. Okay. Now, like I said, I think this is a year where the Colts could drop a little bit. Maybe the Colts don't make the playoffs this year, but this is a mid-tier year for what the Colts want to build going forward. They've got a tough schedule. They've got some young guys. You never know who's going to get injured this year. You never know how the rookies from this 2019 draft are going to pan out. You never know what the 18 and the 17 draft guys are really going to prove this year. I think that if everything goes right, they could be a hell of a team and they could be a real contender for the AFC. But if things go even slightly wrong, I think you could see the Colts take a dip because I think the Tennessee Titans are tough. The Texans could be a really solid team. Deshaun Watson leads that. You know what they've got on defense. You know some of the potential they've got on offense. But, I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are the wild card of the division, okay? The Colts could easily finish third in the division and not make the playoffs. And it wouldn't mean that they had a bad year. It would just mean that their schedule was tough and the rest of the AFC South had a good year. I see a lot of possibilities with this season. The way it's shaking out right now, it looks like it could go a couple different ways. I like the schedule because I like these tough schedules. And we've talked about this in the past, but it is always about what do they prove? Does the team come out and go 11-5? Do they come out and go, 9-7? What do they do? And if it's against this sort of, when you consider the schedule, you consider everybody at full strength, right? Even the Colts, for that matter. And you look at it and you say, man, if they beat these guys and they have a season that they get into the playoffs in this schedule, that makes you feel more confident about what they've got going into the playoffs, should they make that? And should they get a berth? Should they get to the AFC championship game? That makes you feel good about it. They've already had that issue. They've already dealt with a ton. They're going to deal with injuries. Every team does. They're going to deal with a tough schedule, a really crappy bye week. They're going to be dealing with a lot. And if they're really successful this year, man, they are going to be a team. Okay, but you have to look at the reasonable and realistic backside of that argument. Does the injuries catch up with them? Do they happen to be 2018 draft picks that are injured? Does it have to be happen to be Quentin Nelson? You have to consider the worst case scenarios in injuries, and the best case scenarios or worst case scenarios, however you want to play it out. For the other teams, that everybody else is healthy and you're injured. It's just going to be a very fun week. I'm anxious to see how the draft rolls out. I'm anxious to see kind of what teams look like come preseason. This is going to be a fun year. It is going to be a telling year. It is going to be a hard year. And it is going to be a year that Colts fans are honestly at each other's throats. That is the way it happens, folks. People are senselessly optimistic. Some people are senselessly pessimistic. It just happens that way all the time. I mean, Chris Ballard's been excellent already, and there are already people calling for his job. Fools, okay? I mean, absolute fools. But this is what happens when you have people with vastly different approaches to what they've got, what they see, what do they make the most important aspect of the season. And there's a lot of aspects to look at. There are a lot of things to look at this year. Like I said, schedule, injuries that possibly pop up, how the draft turns out in general. Does everything turn out? Do the Colts take a bit of a backslide in their running game? Do the receivers, not step up, or do they step up? Does the defense play as well as they did last year? And honestly, I don't think that you should count on the defense playing that as well as they did last year. The defense last year was excellent. It was a surprise. If they match that, the Colts should be in really good shape because you love what they've got on offense. You love Andrew Luck. You love that line. You love some of the playmakers. You love that they're in a couple of them are in their second and third years and that they could really make an impact. But this is going to – a lot is going to be determined on everything. Everything is going to be holding the utmost importance. These cards this year, folks, are going to be very interesting to see what the Colts pull out of it. So a lot going on. Interesting for the Colts taking Timmons there at 26. Varying opinions on that, and I think that they can be all right, to be quite honest with you. What the Colts schedule looks like, you guys tell me. Hit me up tomorrow on Twitter and tell me what you guys think about it. But that's what I think about it. It's going to be an interesting season. The draft is getting so close, folks. We are almost there. And it's going to be a fun one to see in Nashville. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast.
Stampede Blue.